You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Okay, guys, hey, Sam, Jay Jones here, Flash Gordon, and you are listening to the Flopcast. For real. I'm not teasing you.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 425.
On flopcast.net.
Kevin and Cornflake like to have coffee and cartoons, and so they turned on their microphone and made a Flopcast just for you, might be. Sorry.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. I can actually see you right now.
Yeah.
We rarely record with the video going on our Zoom meeting, but we threw the video on tonight just to mix it up, and because I believe we have some special guests maybe joining us a little later in the show, but yikes, there you are.
Oh, that'll be cool to have somebody crash our show.
That'll be interesting. But question number one is, are you underwater?
I am.
Right now? There's like a blue underwater background behind you with fish, but the fish seem to be frozen solid.
Yeah. And well, we've been running the air conditioning and it's gotten pretty cold in here.
There's a fish tank behind you and the fish are frozen. Okay.
Yeah, that's how we keep it cool.
I like it. So yeah, we will be joined by special guests later on. That's the plan. So before they arrive, before there's a knock at the door, the virtual door to Chickentown Studios, Cornflake, let's start with National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
I'm pretty excited about this week's National Whatever Day, Kevin, because it involves flips, shields, and hyperspace. I'm talking Asteroid Day. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Asteroid Day has nothing to do with one of my favorite video games from Atari, Asteroids, but that is how I'm choosing to celebrate.
No, I would definitely go with that. Yeah, I was confused by the flips at first because I was thinking arcade Asteroids, but you're talking the Atari 2600 version.
That I am.
One of the many functions they added to the game was that you could flip your ship to immediately face the other direction, right?
Yeah.
And then shields in the arcade, I think the Asteroids Deluxe game had a shield. Hyperspace was in the original arcade game.
Yes. And hyperspace, generally not helpful.
No. It's not
a helpful feature. It just puts you at some other part of the screen. And,
yeah.
And generally, it's not an advantageous one.
I rarely, if ever, used the hyperspace. And yeah, you always regret it. Usually, even if I was about to get crushed by an asteroid, I wouldn't even think to do hyperspace as a last resort. The shield I enjoyed on Atari 2600. Man, you work that shield. That's a lifesaver.
As long as you don't keep it on too long.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Oh, man, I played so much Atari 2600 Asteroids.
Me too. That and Dig Dug.
And yeah, I'm always up to celebrate this day of days, tis Asteroids Day.
June 30th, yeah. And I got out my Atari the other day in anticipation of Asteroids Day.
Oh, wow.
Because I have an original Atari. You know our friend Shoebox?
Sure.
He refurbished one for me.
Oh, that's nice. I think mine needs refurbishing because we have one here in Chickentown Studios, which you and I played on the show once.
So much fun.
We were playing Activision Freeway because that was the only game that I had. I have the Atari cartridge where you're working a chicken trying to cross the road. So we played some Freeway on the show. But I think my Atari 2600 needs to be cleaned or something because it doesn't seem to work very well these days.
You got to call Shoebox from Warm Quartet. He is a whiz at fixing those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, our buddy Shoebox, I'm sure, could fix it. But Shoebox is very far away.
It's true. You'd have to. Well, I had him ship one to me.
You were shipping Ataris back and forth across North America to Shoebox.
So worth it. That said, I also have Atari's reissue, which already has a bunch of the Atari games reloaded onto it.
Oh, yeah. They did a few like Atari flashback.
And it has Asteroids on it. And I put that game on the other night on the re-released machine thinking that I was just going to go to town and be awesome at that game. And I don't know if it's because I haven't broken in the joystick yet or if it's because I'm not as good as I remember myself being. But man, Kevin, I was a total flop on Atari.
Back on Freaks and Geeks, there's an episode of Freaks and Geeks where Neil gets an Atari 2600. And that show was set in 1980, 1981, you know, when it was a new system. And they show the geeks playing Atari Asteroids. But when they show the screen, if I'm remembering this correctly, when you see the screen with the game going on it, it's not Atari 2600 Asteroids. It's a different version of Asteroids. So for the super Atari nerds like me, were immediately enraged and screaming at the TV, wait a minute, that's wrong. That's not the proper Asteroids. And I fired off a lot of angry letters to NBC. And I think I was ultimately personally responsible for that show being canceled.
It's like they did it to rile you up, Kevin.
And even though it's my favorite show of all time, I feel like mission accomplished. They made a mistake and I made them pay.
Yes, you did.
Thank you. Judd Apatow is my enemy now.
Oh, man. Well, I didn't mean to bring up bad blood for National Whatever Day. I was just trying to talk about something that would make us happy.
Oh, it's fine. We love Freaks and Geeks. I did a panel about Freaks and Geeks at Aresia, beginning of the year. Remember?
Yes, I do.
Back when we had conventions.
Feels like it was forever ago.
That was a long, long time ago. Yes. Well, happy Asteroids Day, Cornflake.
Happy Asteroids Day on June 30th.
All right. Maybe I should add that to my list of things I should be doing during the pandemic lockdown era is see if I can get my Atari working properly.
I think that's an excellent idea.
All right. I'm going to look into that if I ever have time. And, you know, I probably won't. So let's move on. So Cornflake, what else is happening with you this week? Anything going on? Are you just, it's just you and the frozen fish that are creepily right behind you right now, and that's it.
Me and the frozen fish, we're hiding from the humidity. That's pretty much the way things are going. I finally broke down and got Disney Plus, so I have been indulging in The Mandalorian, and that has been magnificent.
Now, is it just me? I watched the whole series and I enjoyed it, but is it just me? Or I warned you, it's dark. Have you found that to be the case too?
Oh, yeah.
So much of it is set at night or inside somewhere where it's dark, and it's so dark that I couldn't even see what was going on. Is it just me? Am I crazy?
It is hard to see the action.
Yeah.
With all the darkness.
It's, you know, you go to all the trouble of making this show. You know, somebody throw a light on the actors so we can at least see them. I think that's becoming a thing. I mean, I don't know, maybe our TV isn't configured correctly or something for these fancy new shows they're putting out, because I'm finding the same thing with Stargirl now. We watched the latest episode of Stargirl last night, and I was like, I feel like I'm watching Mandalorian again. I can't see Stargirl. She's hiding in the dark.
There are times where the Star Trek Picard first season is like that too. So I think it probably is a thing. Either that, Kevin, or our eyes are going.
Maybe it's just us. These newfangled TV shows, you know, I feel like when I was watching The Facts of Life and The Jeffersons back in the day, always beautifully lit. You could see everything just fine.
Well lit shows, yes.
They don't make good TV anymore.
Well, don't be so fast to say that, because I was saying I got Disney Plus and I got it just in time, because there's going to be, at the end of July, and I'm going to be counting down the days, a new Muppet show. It's going to be called Muppets Now.
Yep.
Looking good.
Can you see them? Is it Muppets in the dark?
You can see them.
They're hiding in the darkness like the Mandalorian and Stargirl.
That would be creepy.
Like, I think Gonzo is in there somewhere, but it's so dark I can't tell. Maybe.
I couldn't deal with Gonzo in the dark. That would put me right over the edge. So that's what's new in my world. What about with you?
Oh, I'm getting caught up on my summer movies, you know, because I watch the same movies every summer. So I watched Meatballs last week, the real original Meatballs, because you remember what happened last year?
All too well.
Yikes. You and I watched all three horrifying Meatballs sequels. So this year I went back to the good one, to the original, which was delightful, of course. And I do like a Bill Murray double feature every summer, because, you know, I love Meatballs and then Caddyshack. This past weekend, I popped in Caddyshack. And then, you know, I'm almost afraid to say this, but it also occurred to me they did make a Caddyshack 2, which I have never seen and which I understand is not good.
Yeah.
Which leads me to wonder, dare we? There's only one of them, so it's not going to be as rough as last year. Is this something we should consider doing? Is you and I suffering through Caddyshack 2?
Well, I think the listeners are going to demand it now. So, I mean, had you brought it up off air, I might have said no. But
and I'm putting you on the spot on the show.
Yeah, you know what? I think I can handle it.
Maybe we should give this. It does have a good Kenny Loggins song.
Yes.
Because, you know, Kenny Loggins, he did I'm All Right and some other songs for the first Caddyshack. They brought him back to do Nobody's Fool, the theme song for Caddyshack 2. And that's a good song, too. So at the very least, got some good Kenny Loggins going.
Dare I say, how bad can it be?
Oh, you can say that. And I think we're about to find out. Maybe it's great. I don't know.
Well, it could be, but I am going to be prepared to wash it down with my annual viewing of the episodes of High Feather.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago we did High Feather. We watched every episode of High Feather, which for new listeners, it's a weird little 10-episode kids' educational TV series that aired on public TV for the most part in like 1980, 81, and rerun throughout the early to mid-80s. It's called High Feather, set at a summer camp, and we watched every episode and discussed each episode in excruciating detail here on the Flapcast a couple of summers ago. We went so deep into High Feather 2 years ago that I have not felt the need to go back and revisit it since, even though I used to watch it every summer. I feel like I'm still good right now. I might still take this year off from High Feather also.
That's fair.
Oh, you know what else I saw this past weekend? Our friends Matthew and Alicia Dix, who runs the Speak Up storytelling series. You and I have been there as well. We've gone down to Connecticut for their live Speak Up events a time or two. And this past weekend, they did their first online edition of Speak Up.
What was that like?
You know, it worked really well. They did a nice job. And they were working with the Connecticut Historical Society, which hosts a lot of their live events. So they were sort of hosting it virtually. You know, they had a half dozen storytellers or so. Everybody's at their own house, you know, and it was a big Zoom conference with like 100 people or so in the audience all tuning in. Most of the audience had their cameras on, so like you could see the people just sitting at their house watching. We did not. The mayor and I, we stayed dark.
You didn't want to be on display for that, did you?
Yeah, it was all these faces of people watching the storytellers, and then there was one black rectangle, and that was me and the mayor hiding in anonymity with the camera. It looked like the Mandalorian. It was just a black rectangle as if we had tuned into a super dark episode of the Mandalorian. But yeah, it was great. It was great. They did a terrific job. So that's something to keep an eye on, is hopefully there will be other online editions of Speak Up coming up in these bizarre times where everything happens virtually. I've also been watching our friend Nikki Luparelli. And Nikki's been doing a lot online, including Nikki's Happy Hour she does weekly. You watch Nikki in her kitchen cooking. She prepares a drink, you know, which she then drinks throughout the rest of the show. And then she cooks. It's like a cooking demonstration. She cooks something live on the show while she's reading all the comments live as they come in. So she's interacting with her audience as she's cooking. Very, very funny. And then she pushes the table out of the way and ends with a couple of songs. It turns into a concert at the end.
That's really nice. If I was making meals while being on a show, I think I would sign off and eat afterwards.
That's right.
That's just me. But Nikki is gracious and generous. So of course, she gives you a little something extra to tune in for. But I got to say, I'm nothing like Nikki. If I was trying to read comments scrolling by while cooking dinner, every meal, Kevin, every meal would be burn.
Yeah, she's multitasking and she's being very funny at the same time, of course.
Oh, she's magnificent.
And she's doing like her Bowie songs and Led Zeppelin songs and the stuff that we've seen her do at her concerts so many times. But she's also doing stuff I'd never seen her do before. And this past weekend, she did three or four songs at the end, including Drive by the Cars.
Ooh.
And that's when I just lost it. Like, oh, this is a beautiful thing. I'm watching my friend Nikki in her kitchen. She's singing The Cars. She's singing Drive. That's the best.
You can't top that.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously so many performances have moved online. Many, many friends of ours doing all kinds of stuff. And we're not going to list 100 things right now. As early on in the pandemic era, I feel like half of the Flapcast was just us plugging what everybody else was doing online. So we should keep doing that a little bit here and there, such as now. So check out Speak Up. Check out Nikki Luparelli, keeping us entertained while we're trapped in our stupid little houses, you know?
Yes, I did enjoy a show recently with Steve Goody and Carla Ulbrich. Did you hear that they were doing a show together?
I know that they've worked together quite a bit.
One of them, and I think Carla got to be the one who started with a song. And Steve, hearing that song, had to come up with, create on the spot, or play from his repertoire of songs, a song that had to do with what Carla played. And they just went back and forth like that for the entire half an hour, put on the spot, you have to come up with a song that has something to do with the previous song.
That sounds cool. Cornflake, I got to cut you off right there because I believe there's a knock at the virtual door into Chickentown Studios. I think our special guests have arrived. Let me see what happens if I click this admit button. Hang on. Well, check that out, Cornflake. A couple of guests have arrived.
Hello.
Welcome. Welcome to the Flopcast.
We are looking at, these are actually the last people that I spent time with live in person before the world exploded a couple of months ago.
It's true. We went outside and we did things.
Yeah.
Now they're here in our little virtual world, and we're welcoming them officially to the ESO Network. Everybody. From the podcast, but first, let's talk nerdy. This is our longtime friends of the Flopcast. Martha and Brittany are here. Hello, girls.
Hello.
I like how you wave.
They can still see us, so whatever. I feel better.
We can see each other on video right now.
Martha and I constantly make hand gestures, and then we have to describe what our hand gestures are because it's a podcast. Yeah.
And get the seltzer going, I see.
Mm-hmm.
The Flopcast is a coffee-fueled podcast.
Coffee at 9 o'clock at night?
Oh, you betcha.
All day and all night.
I would not sleep.
Yeah.
I already don't sleep.
Yeah, we are all about the coffee on the Flopcast, but your show is very much fueled by hard seltzer.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Which puts us to sleep after, so.
Yes.
Kind of. It tries to put us to sleep after. We want it to put us to sleep after. Is anybody actually sleeping these days?
No,
never mind. Sorry, this got weird.
Yeah. I don't know. The last 3 months have kind of felt like just one long, weird day, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, Martha and Brittany were on the show with us like back in March because I was out in Las Vegas. Yes. I was hanging out with you too. That was fun. Remember that?
Yes.
Kind of.
Vaguely.
I don't know. It was like yesterday and then it was like 100 years ago at the same exact time.
Because I got out of Vegas just in time.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Everything locked down. You almost got trapped with me. What if I was still there?
There's no way I would have made you find an apartment to live in out here. I'm sorry, Kevin.
I am so quiet and I'm such a delightful house guest that you probably wouldn't even notice if I was still there. I think it would have been fine.
I think
delightful.
I think we would have because we only have 2 beds.
Oh, yeah.
So that would have been a thing.
That's a good point. That's a good point. You may have wanted your bed back at some point. Okay. So when I was out there in March, it was very comfortable outside. Is it like 1,000 degrees now? What's it like in Vegas?
So right this week is very hot. It's 109, 111 was yesterday. But it varies. Just last week, it was just in the 90s. And when it's dry heat, the 90s isn't bad. We really don't need our AC on as long as we have the fans on. But it's been hot this week.
Yes.
And then sometimes at night, it stays hot. It will stay 100 degrees, but sometimes it will drop down to like the mid-80s at night. So it can be really nice to sit outside in the evening because there's not really any bugs here. So just chilling on our deck with like a small breeze and it's like, you know, 86 degrees out is actually really nice.
Mm-hmm. Have you been outside when it's 109 and wearing a face mask? How does that go?
Yes, we went out yesterday. Yeah. It was about 111, but it's just a quick, we're wearing our face mask just in the parking. We put it on in my car. the parking lot. And then as soon as you get into the store, it's air conditioned. It's not like we're like going for walks. And no. Nevada's really big that if we were going for walks, it's one of those where we would be able to find a place without people and yes. could take.
I like that you say Nevada's really big. That's
it's
good.
Really big.
No, like
you have this teeny tiny state.
We're from Massachusetts, where everything is clumped on
like,
top
I
of
can
each
reach
other.
The people on the other side.
Nearly
of the state.
Every single lane of traffic in Nevada is 2 to 3 lanes on each side, and then they'll have like a turning lane. So like it's huge.
It's really big,
and there's less people in Nevada than there are in Massachusetts. So when I say there's space, there's space. Mm-hmm.
It's a giant, wide open desert. There's room for everybody.
Yes.
Nice.
Exactly.
So the reason we wanted to have you two with us today, it's very rare that we have guests like this. I think this is the first Zoom online show that we've done with guests, isn't it, Cornflake?
It is.
Yeah.
Whole new experience, right?
Yeah. We have no idea how this is going to work as far as technologically and sound quality, and this could be a huge disaster. We'll see how it goes. But we are here to say to Martha and Brittany from But First Let's Talk Nerdy to officially say welcome to the ESO Network.
Yay!
Yay.
Thank you. Thanks, excited.
Yeah.
Because, we've been working on this for several weeks now.
Yes.
We've been holding back this information that your show is joining our nerdy little network here.
Yes. We put it in a few podcasts, and I'm like, Kevin, cut it out if it's not going to be yet. We left it in, but take it out if you need to.
That's right. And your show, you were planning this for quite a while before I got going.
You know what I think? It literally started when we were watching Drunk History.
Yeah.
Talking about how we would love to just
Drunk History and doing a version of Drunk History.
Yeah, and
for
just
a
talking nerdy. And then now we live together, and then we got quarantined together. So we're like, you know what? What else do we have to do?
It was kind of like you were just about ready to start when suddenly the pandemic hit. So it was this weird coincidence that the timing coincided with
us getting a lot of free time.
Yes. One good thing from the pandemic.
Hey.
Right. That's right. And you've just been cranking out a show every week. Episode 10 just came out.
Mm-hmm. Holy smoke. Double digits.
I know, geez.
You're in double digits now. Most podcasts do not make it that far. You're already way ahead of everybody else.
Let's go.
So, nice job. Now, we should say, I'm sort of behind the scenes part of team, but first let's talk nerdy.
Yes.
I'm your editor.
Yes. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Or this wouldn't go well.
No, it's been super fun working with you two on this show, and I feel like I may have been hearing more of your show than you have.
Yeah, I'm sure. We record it.
Yeah,
we re-listen to it. She hears more because then
might be
she
on par with you.
She hacks it up.
Yeah, you do a little bit of cutting before you send it to me.
Yeah, but I don't do any of the cutting, so I only re-listen to it when we take notes on what we know wants to get cut out and do the pre-editing. And then, but once you send it back to us, I never touch it again.
Mm-hmm.
I put it on and it goes over the back.
I'm sure it's fine. Here it goes.
So whatever the final cut is, I don't know. You could be putting in anything, Kevin.
Yeah, I've actually just been dropping in old Flopcast episodes.
I mean, you know.
They're like, you sound really weird. Do you have a cold? I'm like, no.
Now, I listen to every episode of yours like 18 times.
That's wrong.
I'm sorry.
That's just to get a feel for it. Then I start editing.
That'd be too much. Don't do that. Right. I can't even handle
I don't want to listen to myself 18 times.
Yeah. I spend several hours every week now with you two just screaming into my headphones.
You know.
I'm genuinely sorry. Oh, God. Sometimes actually screaming.
Sometimes actually screaming.
There's a lot of actual screaming. So, you guys have just been doing this now. How has the podcasting experience been? Has anything surprised you about what it's like being in podcasting?
We have to be very careful about how much we drink.
And what time it is.
And what time we're podcasting.
Yeah.
Because if we drink too much or we podcast too late, it's rough.
And then the next day is rough.
And the longer podcast, you can tell the ones that go for like the two or 3 hours, you can tell by the end that we're struggling because we've had that extra drink because it's gone on so long.
Sure. Yeah.
And then, yeah, we're in our 30s now. It is hard to wake up the next morning sometimes after drinking that much. Ooh.
And that was the concept of your show going in, was you're going to be tipsy.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And we get tipsy every show, but there's a fine line between being tipsy and then being kind of basically drunk.
Mean.
And you want to maintain the tipsy. Yeah. We're funnier when we're tipsy. Martha's more annoying when she's tipsy,
which is not hard.
Well, yeah, I think it adds to the fun of the show, because when things go wrong on the show, that can be funny, and you guys can kind of, you know, go off the rails, and that adds a little character to the show. And,
definitely.
As an editor, when things go wrong, then I decide, did that go wrong in a way that's good, or I don't
usually
have to get shot down.
We take out the things that are, like, really bad. We'll specifically go on Side Rant where we'll be like, we're definitely going to cut this. But we're having a conversation at the time, so we're going to talk about it.
Yes, whereas Cornflake and I only speak for what's definitely going to be on the show. Other than that, we only communicate through our lawyers.
That's fair.
That sounds expensive.
My lawyer is a cat. She doesn't do very well.
I mean, that's a ways down the road, though. I mean, you get up to around episode 400 or so.
Around then, it's no problem. Lawyers only.
When the Flopcast started, Cornflake and I were friends. That was a long time ago. So, but first, let's talk nerdy. Like, you each bring a subject to the show every week, and you surprise each other with what the subject is going to be. And you surprise me. And sometimes it's something I know about, and sometimes it's something I know next to nothing about. So it's been quite a learning experience.
Are you learning
me.
A lot? We're learning a lot, too. Even though we pick the ones, like, every time we pick a topic and I'm researching it, I'm like, holy crap. Like,
this past week, I thought I really knew my topic. And then I was like, oh, wait, here's this and this and this that I didn't know.
I learned so much about Sailor Moon this week.
Yeah. As you should. Everybody needs to know about Sailor Moon.
I knew next to nothing about Sailor Moon, even though you two took me to a Sailor Moon burlesque show last year.
We did.
Which I enjoyed.
It's great.
But I had no idea what was going on.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It's a burlesque show. Yeah. People are getting naked. That's all that matters.
I still somehow found a way to enjoy it. But yeah, the latest episode, episode 10, which is your first episode on the ESO Network. And this was for Pride Month, your special show for Pride Month. Yeah. So that was cool.
Pride. Yes. It was great.
It was cool. So yeah, Martha did Sailor Moon for Pride Month. And Britt, you did Riverdale.
Yes.
You did Cheryl and Tony from Riverdale.
Yes, Tony, my girl.
Yes, yes. Sailor Moon, I knew nothing about. Riverdale, I know. I know because, Brittany and I are like Riverdale nerds. And we have, for years, been commiserating over how crazy that show is.
Oh, goodness. That show.
So that was good. But yeah, like, I've learned about Cowboy Bebop.
You watched part of Cowboy Bebop, which is like...
I watched almost all of it.
A huge thing.
I think I have like 7 left.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. But yeah, that's something that I've been meaning to watch for years, but I finally watched it because I thought, okay, I'm about to edit a show about it. I should really finally watch this thing.
Yes.
And you did a show about James Bond.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah.
And I was never a big James Bond guy.
Oh, well,
but
you should be.
I was so inspired by your show, episode 7, episode 007.
Yes.
Definitely planned.
That was 100% planned, and Kevin didn't mention it as a, I get it, and I totally planned that.
I thought that was your being super clever, but apparently it was just a happy coincidence. As far as anybody knows, that was you being super clever.
Yes, clever. I knew exactly what I was doing.
But I actually, I watched the first Daniel Craig James Bond movie.
Casino Royale. It's one of the best ones.
Yeah. So, I'm getting into stuff. You two are teaching me about things.
We're teaching you how to
things.
Be a better nerd, Kevin. More
well-rounded. Yes. That's been great. Well, I was going to ask if you can tease us about what's coming up on the show, but maybe you can't because everything's supposed to be a big surprise.
We can do a mini teaser. So, the one that will come out next Tuesday, it comes out on the last day of June. So, what both of us are doing in that one does have to do with the fact that July is starting in the beginning of July. Mm-hmm. And mine also has another 9 million,
like weird
timings that go with it. And I think,
including a cat birthday.
Yes, including a cat birthday. You're right. There's a lot of birthdays happening in mine. Mm-hmm. And then hers is something you wouldn't guess, but it has to tie in with July as well.
All right. I look forward to that. Well, hey, welcome, Cornflake. What do you think?
Welcome to Earth Station One, ladies.
Woo! Thank you.
No, we're so happy to have you here. And you've been, you know, dear friends of ours for so long. So it's great that you've joined our little podcast family as well.
We're excited.
Yeah.
So glad I got to hang out with you two, like, in person right before we weren't allowed to hang out with anybody ever.
One day we'll be able to come back to Massachusetts.
Someday we shall all meet again for real. But for now, we have our little podcast.
Yes.
All right, girls, get back to work.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
See ya.
Hey, how about that? There was Britt and Martha.
Yeah, and it was so much fun to have our show crashed by a special guest, but who could be better than Martha and Brittany?
Absolutely. If this Zoom thing works out, if including other people on the Zoom, if this is not a audio quality nightmare, which I will not know until I attempt to edit it, but if it works, we'll see if we can keep bringing more people in like that, you know?
Yeah!
We'll see. This might have all been a huge mistake.
I'm going to stay optimistic about this, Kevin, because it's the bright side to not actually being able to be in Chicken Town. So
yeah. So there you go. We're very happy to have a But First Let's Talk Nerdy here on ESO.
Oh, they're off to an excellent start.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a fun show. That's a cool show. Oh, we should throw in a plug for Good Enough Cosplay also, because Brittany and Martha are, of course, longtime costumers at conventions and comic book events and whatnot. And you can look them up as part of Good Enough Cosplay if you want to see all their amazing costume work. And they've posted some photos, I think, some of their costumes on the But First Let's Talk Nerdy Instagram account. You can see some of their costumes as well there. I believe even including Mothra.
Whoa.
Yeah. You know, the giant Japanese moth monster. They even did a Mothra costume at one point.
Yowza.
Yeah, they've done it all. All right, Cornflake, our guests are gone, and it's just you and me. And you know what? Let's keep this one kind of short, and let's go ahead and wrap up.
I like the way you think, Kevin, as always. Well, please do find us, dear listeners, at flopcast.net or on Facebook, facebook.com/flopcast, or on Instagram. Our handle there is the_flopcast. And we have a Twitter handle. It's @flopcast. All good things.
Yes, that's exactly where to find you and me.
Yes.
It's not like we have anywhere else to go right now.
No.
Oh, I have a plug. I did go somewhere else. I have a plug, another plug before we wrap up. And that is Earth Station One. I was back on Earth Station One, our ESO Network flagship podcast, again this week. I keep figuring out ways to sneak back up onto the space station and make a guest appearance on Earth Station One. The mayor, Felicity, was on the show just last week to talk about raising Arizona. As soon as they got rid of her, while the airlock was still open.
Oh, that's how you do it. See, I haven't figured out how to get back up there, but you know the way.
I sneaked back in and I joined Mike and Mike, as well as our buddy Michael Bailey from the Fortress of Baileytude podcast network. The four of us were discussing Denny O'Neill. Denny O'Neill is a classic comic book writer and editor who just died a couple of weeks ago, but a very important guy. Best known for his Batman work back in the 70s, co-creator of Ra's al Ghul and Talia al Ghul and a bunch of other major components of the Batman universe. Very well known for Green Lantern and Green Arrow, those classic Bronze Age stories from the 70s, and The Question as well, he wrote in the 80s. Do you know The Question, Cornflake? The dude with no face?
Oh, okay.
He's wearing like a jacket and a hat and a tie and he's got no face.
No face. That's, yeah.
That guy. Yeah, Denny O'Neill also wrote The Question, had a great run on The Question. He wrote everything at DC and Marvel over the years. So a long, amazing career. And we broke it all down this week on Earth Station One. Check that out. And meanwhile, Cornflake, happy Asteroids Day.
Happy Asteroids Day. Ending the month with a bang.
Yes, yes. Despite all those asteroids flying around, everybody, please do be safe. We keep warning you every week. Be good. Be kind. Black Lives Matter. Be careful. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
I'm Brittany Vetrino.
And I'm Martha Bartlett. We've been nerds since day one, and we love to talk.
And now we're your hosts of But First, Let's Talk Nerdy.
Come listen if you like anything from comics, anime, video games, sci-fi, and even history.
Just sit back, relax, even join us with a drink in hand, because we'll have one in ours too, and come talk nerdy with us every Tuesday.
We are now a proud member of the ESO Network, and you can download wherever you like to listen.
See you next Tuesday.
Oh, hey, Cornflake.
Whoa.
Still here? Still here for the after show, yes.
Oh, wouldn't miss it.
Me too.
The after show is my jam.
You love the secret after show.
More than I could possibly admit, because literally I'm not supposed to admit it.
Yeah, this is the part of the show we do not speak of. People just have to discover it on their own. If you make it through the promo.
Here we are.
Here's the secret after show. If you just bail out when the promo starts, you don't even know that this part of the show even exists.
And if you're discovering it just this episode, go back and listen to all the secret after shows you missed.
You know, I just had a thought about the promos just now, speaking of the promos. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm editing, I edit the Flopcast and I edit But First, Let's Talk Nerdy.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm the one putting the promos into this show and into Brittany and Martha's show every week. Here's my idea. What if every week on the Flopcast, we just run the promo for But First, Let's Talk Nerdy. And every week on But First, Let's Talk Nerdy, I'll just run the promo for the Flopcast. We will just promote each other's shows, and we're just going to freeze out the rest of the network.
That's so clever.
Do you think anybody will notice? Are we going to get caught? Are we going to get in trouble with the network?
Absolutely not.
I disagree. I think we're in a heap of trouble. But let's try it.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.